Kia ora, everybody. How are you doing? Isn't it awesome seeing all the stuff that's happening and they're doing dentistry and wow. I always say I love those big giant teeth. I always think there's a giant out there with just gums at the moment. He's lost his dentures. They're just so cool. Those big giant teeth. Well, it is a baptism tonight, dedicated five babies or children this morning, and we're baptizing five people tonight, so don't miss that. It's really exciting. Come along at 6 p.m. and it's only five more sleeps until the Seeking God retreat. Yes! I'm going. I can't wait. It's going to be incredible. And if you still want to come, there are still some spaces left. You can register today on the website, and it is genuinely like 40 hours of heaven on earth. You're in the presence of God, you're hanging out, you've got time on your own, you've got time as a group. It is amazing. So are you ready for the word today? We're going to pray. Father, right now we pray that you would come and speak to us through your word. We bind any distractions in the name of Jesus, and we just focus our hearts and minds totally on you. We need you, Lord. We need you to speak to us through your word. We love you. There's no place we would rather be right there anywhere on the earth than right here, right now with you in your house. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we know God's called us to a certain place or a certain thing, a certain ministry, a certain maybe career or business or something. But then what happens is even within that calling and that thing we're doing, the going can get tough. And it's not all happening like we thought it would, when we thought it would. And sometimes the temptation comes, we just want to pop out of that thing that God has called us to. That place, that city, that job, that ministry, that business, that marriage, that family. Or we can watch the news and we can think, wow, house prices are too much. There's a recession. I'm out of here. And we can just move. And what often happens is when we're wrestling with something internally, we can feel the pressure of that. We get frustrated. But instead of allowing the Lord into that space to heal and deal with it, we just try and solve it ourselves. We take charge and we try and change something externally. It's an internal issue, but we try and change something externally in our life to try and solve the problem. Like changing jobs or churches or cities or countries or spouses or something like that. All because we are tempted to not stay at our post. That's my title today. Stay at your post. So often when the heat comes on, we want to cut and run. It's instinctive. It's a temptation. But is that the wisest thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? What would the Lord have us do? And what about the will of God and all this? What is God saying? That's a key. It is vital as followers of Jesus that we know his voice so that we can obey it. And this helps us to live and be proactive rather than reactive. Reacting to what's going on in here or reacting to external circumstances. Christianity 101 is hearing God's voice. So let's open with this scripture, what Jesus said in John 10:27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But how can we follow him if we can't know his voice, if we can't discern his voice and his direction to us? So we all, as Christians, need to be able to hear God's voice so we can know his will and obey it and do it and live it out. As Dante said, in his will is our peace. And that is why I love things like freedom prayer and seeking God retreats, because they teach us how to hear from God. They teach us skills, Christian skills that will last us our life, whole life long as we follow the Lord. It's really important. So we can hear his voice, know his will, stay in it in peace. Now today, our main text is we're going to look at a guy who did just this back in Genesis. Genesis 26. And it's talking about Isaac. So we had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then it went to the 10 tribes. And remember, at this point in time where I'm reading in Genesis 26, Abraham has just died the chapter before. And, you know, Isaac was, he had older parents. Some of you over here, you might think your parents are old. I'm here today to tell you, your parents aren't old. Isaac's parents were old. When Isaac was 15 at high school, his mum was 105 and his dad was 115. That is older than his great-grandparents would have been in this day and age. Well, let's spare a thought for poor Isaac. It can't have been easy for him. Imagine being dropped off at your high school each morning on the back of a mobility scooter. That is not cool. How would you feel about getting soft food in your lunchbox every day? How would you feel walking into your school smelling of deep heat and prune juice with all the other kids going, "Hey, Isaac, do you have an after-school job at that retirement, at that rest home?" And he's like, "No, I live there. That's my parents." It would have just been embarrassing. So this is Isaac, but now he's grown up a little bit. And now his mum went to be with the Lord. His dad's gone to be with the Lord. He's an adult, and this is what's going on for him. We're going to read the first few verses, and then we'll skip down a bit. "Now there was a famine in the land," Genesis 26, verse 1, "besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws.' So Isaac stayed in Gerar." Now we're going to skip down because it's another story about Isaac and Rebekah right there. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12, back to the Isaac story. "Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord had blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy." And the King James says, "Isaac sowed seed in the land." Isaac sowed seed in the time of famine. We see here that there was a famine in the land. So God had promised this land to Abraham and Isaac and all their descendants. And Isaac believed the promise. He grew up believing this promise from God. He knew that this land was his inheritance. But now there's a problem with the promise, with the promised land, with the inheritance. There's a famine in it. And now the promised land can't support him or even generate enough food to feed his family. What to do now? Well, the logical thing was to go where there was food, down to Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world in Scripture. And Egypt was always a place of trial for God's people. But this was the thing to do when there was a famine. You rock on down to Egypt. And the thought of starving and dying was a motivating factor. Plus, everybody else is going down to Egypt. I mean, hey, everybody's doing it, so it must be okay, right? Even Isaac's dad, Abraham, had gone to Egypt in a time of famine, back in chapter 12 of Genesis, before Isaac was born. And Isaac had probably heard his parents recount that story. So Isaac is just doing what he heard his parents had done. But God intervenes. God speaks to Isaac. God tells him, "Stop running, dude. Just stay. Stay where I've called you to stay." Now, staying is a hard thing to do when everybody else is doing the opposite. Now, a famine is any kind of lack, any type, any time of lack. It could be a recession like the one the TVNZ News keeps prophesying over our nation every night. I mean, there's different kinds of famines. There may be some of us here today in a famine as we speak, a financial famine, a spiritual famine, a health famine, a social famine when you're lonely. It's like you love God, you're in his will, you're in his kingdom, but yet there's this lack, there's this famine. So we've got Isaac here serving God in the promised land, but yet a famine hit him. He's in the place of God's inheritance for him, and yet a famine hit him. He was doing everything right. He's in the right place at the right time, and yet still a famine came upon him. Famines come to all of us at different times. There are 13 famines recorded in the Bible. This one is the second one. And I want to say today, just because we may experience some kind of famine does not mean that you're out of the will of God. Famines come to all of us. What to do when a famine hits? What to do? Do we go, why, God, why? Do we scream why at God? Do we do what everyone else, the world does? Head for the hills, update your will, buy a one-way ticket to Egypt and flee in fear, or perhaps Queensland or Fiji. In a time of famine or lack, the pressure comes on. Isaac instinctively wanted to flee. He wanted to go back to the world. He wanted to go to what he knew, what was familiar, to what was easy and comfortable. And the pressure's not only on Isaac here, it's on his whole family. So for us today, the challenge is, when a famine hits us, whatever type it may be, will we migrate back to the world and drift back to what we know, like everyone else? Or will we stand firm in God's will, in the place where he has called us to be? Will we stay at our post? Will we do what he has called us to do? And here's a thought. Just because a thing is hard does not mean we should bail on it. Just because a thing is hard doesn't mean we're not in God's will. Some of the hardest things we ever do are the best things we ever do. Marriage, that's hard at times. Don't put your hand up. Do I get a witness? No. Don't put your hand up right now. Parenting, all of these heroes down the front here with their children know what I'm talking about. That's hard at times, but it is one of the greatest things we can ever do. Where do we get this idea that God won't ever let us go through anything hard? He lets us go through hard stuff. If we never went through anything hard, we would be spineless jellyfish. Some of the best things we will ever do in this life are difficult things, and we only do them by his grace and strength. He makes us overcomers. We just got to stay with it. Now, Isaac's folks, they were pretty spiritual. Father Abraham, we're talking about, and Sarah. But we, like Isaac, have to realize we can't live off our parents' faith. We've got to have our own. So this famine right now is a test for Isaac. It's a test of his faith. Will he stay at his post? Or will he run? Will he stay where God's called him to be and God's will in this place? Or will he cut and run for Egypt like everyone else? Now, Isaac had seen God do miracles and great things for his parents. But now Isaac has to believe God for himself and his own kids. Now he's all grown up. He had to exercise his own faith in the Lord. He had heard God speak. Now it's up to him. Is he going to obey or not? And we too can learn a lesson from Isaac here. In the midst of pressure, in the midst of famine, in the midst of lack, God directed Isaac by his word. God spoke to him in verse 2. The Lord appeared. This is what I read before. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." Stay in the land. Other versions say sojourn, reside in the land, live in the land, dwell in the land. So Isaac heard from God and he chose to obey. He stood firm on God's word that God had spoken to him and he stayed at his post. He believed God, even in the face of great risk of potential starvation and death. Now listen to what God promises he will do in verse 3 and 4. It goes on, as I read to you before, "I will be with you, I will bless, I will give, I will establish, I will multiply." How awesome is that? And God is promising to do these things for us also if we will only obey him and stay at our post in what it is he is calling us to do. The Lord is telling him, hey, don't go down to Egypt like everyone else. Don't go back to your old ways. Don't go back to the world. He is telling us the same thing today. Even when it's hard, even when it's pressured, even in the midst of famine and lack, don't go back. Go forwards. Go to where God's called you to be, or stay where he's called you to be. You know, the world and our old ways, they didn't help us before. It could have killed us. It didn't help us then, and it won't help us now. The Lord is our helper, and we've got to look to Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We are to live by faith in God, not by fear of circumstances. We've got to make decisions based out of faith. Here are two faith scriptures. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. And that's quoted from the Old Testament, and it's about three times in the Old Testament at least. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So a disclaimer could be, if God is calling you to go somewhere, to go to Aussie or to close up that business or something, do it. But don't do it out of fear. Do it from what the Lord says. Make decisions by faith. And the Lord knows where we are. He knows our address. He is not hindered by a famine. He is not hindered by any outward circumstance. He knows how to get his provision to you. He knows how to get it to you. And we know that God can do miracles. He can provide instantly, miraculously. But often he asks us to take a step of faith first. He requires us to plant a seed. Like Isaac, who planted seed in the time of famine. He sowed his seed in the ground. So God asks us to plant our seed in the land, the place, the thing he has called us to do. He has called us to. He asks us to plant the seed of our time, the seed of our money, the seed of our energy in that place, in that thing he has called us to. And we see in verse 12, Isaac obeyed. He planted his seed in the time of famine. He stayed at his post. He obeyed God. He didn't do the survival tactic of clearing off down to Egypt like everyone else did. He trusted God to provide for him. Now, this is the first instance of planting or sowing seed mentioned in the Bible. And the ironic thing is, it's done during a time of famine. It looks utterly futile. It's crazy to put seed in the ground when there's a famine. Why would you do that? What a waste. And in a time of famine, people would either save their seed for the next year or they would eat it. But Isaac's not saving it and he's not eating it. He is obeying God and planting it. He is sowing his seed into the ground, even though it's a time of famine. And people are looking and thinking, well, Isaac, Isaac, what are you doing? So we know that Isaac is either stark raving mad or he's heard from God. He planted seed. He sowed seed in the time of famine. And in that same year, that same season of famine, he reaped 100-fold. This was a supernatural harvest. He reaped a harvest in the land where God told him to stay. Your harvest is in the place where God has told you to stay. Your harvest is in the place of your calling. Even if it looks like there's a famine there at the moment, even if it looks all brown and dried up and dead, today, if you and I will obey God's word and stay where he's told us to do and stay at our post, you will see a harvest coming in Jesus' name. Stay at your post where he has called you to be. Decide, I am going to stay at my post. I'm going to stay at my post in my calling. I'm going to stay at my post in my marriage. I'm going to stay at my post in my parenting. I'm going to stay at my post in my ministry. I'm going to stay at my post in my church. I'm going to stay at my post in my city. That is the word of the Lord for some of us here today. Stay at your post. Tell the person next to you, stay at your post. And the person on the other side too, so they don't feel left out. Stay at your post. Decide now, I will not be moved. God can use a person with a bit of tenacity. The Lord can use someone with that kind of conviction. plant your seed into that ground. Invest your money, your time, your energy into that place, that thing he has called you to, and you will reap a great harvest. God has the power to bless us, to prosper us, and to provide for us anywhere, anytime, regardless of our external circumstances. We need to make obeying the Lord our first priority, not self-preservation. God told Isaac to stay in the land that God had promised to his family, regardless of external circumstances. We can think, but God, the promise you gave me is not looking so flash at the moment. It's all shriveled up. Looks like it's dying. Hello, God, don't you know there's a famine on? He knows. And we can get to thinking, we've got to run off, we've got to go somewhere, we've got to cut and run, we've got to go to Egypt. We get to thinking that we need to move, do something externally to fix it up. Change jobs, change churches, change cities, change countries, change families to find that elusive perfect city or salary or job or ministry or new partner or career or big break. Famines will come and famines will go, but don't let them move you. We shall not be moved. Decide now, I'm going to stay at my post. I'm going to do the will of God if I die doing it. I'm going to stay at my post if it kills me, because I'm not living for myself. I'm living for him. Yeah. It's tempting in the time of famine to eat the last of your seed, to use your seed, your time, your money, resources, your energy for your own needs. We eat our seed, we consume our seed when we lavish it upon ourselves. This is what happens when we're in survival mode. Instead of being in faith and sowing our seed in the land, we look around at the famine and we become all full of fear. Oh no, there's a famine. We're all gonna die. I'm just trying to stay alive here. I'm just trying to survive. I will survive. Hey, hey. But God does not want his children just to live in survival mode. Survival is the last thing you do before you die. If we fall into survival mode, we end up eating our seed. Then there's none left to sow and plant in faith. I want to urge you today, don't eat your seed. Don't consume it upon yourself. Plant it in the ground where God has told you to stay. Invest your time, invest your money, your energy into that thing and that place. Like Isaac did, he didn't just live for the now moment by satisfying his own appetites and eating his seed. He looked ahead in faith to the future and invested in a harvest by planting it. He did what no one else was doing. Everybody else was fleeing, and here he is out there in the dirt, planting his seed in that drought-stricken land. He's out there with his sunblock and his hat on, his gardening gloves, and he is sowing that seed, and he is dreaming of the harvest that will come from the seed he is planting. People think he's lost the plot. Oh, Isaac, what are you doing? Crazy old man. No, he's not that old. You're out there. You've been in the sun too long. Don't you know there's a famine on? Isaac would have been mocked as people watched him not only stay put when everyone else was going, but also take another step of faith and plant seed in that brown, dry, dead ground. But he did it in faith, because God had said that that land was his inheritance for him and the generations after. When you stay put and plant seed where God has told you to, be prepared for not everybody around you to understand that. Be prepared for some misunderstanding. What are you doing? Launching that business now. Don't you know there's a recession on? Don't you know there's a famine on? Don't you know the economy is unstable? You can't sustain something like that here in Tauranga. What are you doing trying to buy a house now with interest rates like this? There will come naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers who say no, like a horse. It just means no. Even your own family may not get it. that you want to stay in the place where God has called you to do when all the voices are screaming, go. The world tells us to go all the time. Just get out. You don't have to put up with that. If your marriage is not working out for you, just go. If your boss doesn't value you and giving you the salary you want, just go. If your pastor doesn't give you the ministry you want, just go. But if God is saying stay, then we need to stay at our post, the place of our calling. Did you know that our obedience unlocks God's provision? Our obedience to what he tells us unlocks his provision. As we obey God's word to us today, we are unlocking his provision for our tomorrow. As we obey his word today, we're unlocking his provision for our tomorrow. As we obey God's voice and stay at our post, stay in his will, not run away back to our old ways, back to the world and our own means of provision. As we stand firm in our faith, stay at our post, we will see God's supernatural supply for us, even in the midst of famine. And he is well able to provide, even in the most dire of circumstances. Don't fear the famine. This too shall pass. Here's a quote from someone anonymous. The more we trust the sovereignty of heaven, the less we fear the calamities of earth. The Lord can get your harvest to you. He is the Lord of the harvest, and he is not limited by any famine. And when we got married and moved here, Alan and I felt God clearly calling us here. And we started leading youth. There was about 20 people. On a good night, maybe 25. High school and young adults squished together. And we would do connect groups on Tuesday nights, and they would all come around to our little house, and we would do Bible study, and then on Saturday nights we'd do other stuff like our car rallies and scavenger hunts and Youth Alive rallies and records nights when you have lots of marshmallows in your mouth and you try and say fluffy bunnies and you're dribbling and we were doing all this stuff, you know? But for 2 years, it didn't grow. And we were frustrated. And we were discouraged. And we were like, but God, you called us here. What's going on? We felt like failures. What are we doing wrong? And nobody was getting saved. And all our best leaders would just leave after we'd train them up and go to uni. And it was hard. And do you know what then started happening? Oh, we heard about Hillsong Bible College. And Australia started looking really good. In fact, anywhere else started looking really good. And we were tempted to go, but we couldn't because we knew God had called us here. But this is what happens when the pressure's on. You're in a hard place. Everything else starts looking good. Oh, the grass is looking greener. It's usually a sign of a septic tank leak when the grass is looking greener over there. The grass may look greener, but you still got to mow it. By God's grace, we reluctantly obeyed and stayed at our post. And then after 2 years, we got a bit smart with Lisa Higgins and a bunch of us. It was about 10 of us. We went up to a youth conference and we came back. We made about most of them leaders. And so we weren't doing it on our own. We started having leaders helping us and doing it with us. From that point, it turned and it started to grow. By God's grace, it grew to over 5 times the size, with many young people being saved and baptized and discipled and trained as leaders. But now, by God's grace, we're so glad that we stayed at our post and persevered, but it was very, very tempting to cut and run. And had we done that, we would never have seen a harvest. We would have added to the many great statistics, we would have become yet another youth pastor who didn't see out 2 years. And there's thousands of them all over the Western world. To stay at our post means obeying our standing order. What is our standing order? It's a military term. It's the last thing God said to you. We've got to keep doing the last thing he said to us to do until he tells us to do something else. Obey our standing order. He is the commander. We are in an army. We are under orders. We don't live by our fluffy feelings. We are in the Lord's army. The captain of our host is Jesus. And we've got to be listening for his direction. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus said this when he was in the wilderness being tested by Satan. He quoted this from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And Jesus is saying here, we need to live by what God says, not by PC opinion, not by popular culture. If the band could join me, please. Thanks, guys. They're having a coffee out in the atrium. Here they come. You know, I've seen the Watoto Choir. Who was here when the Watoto Choir came through? They're an amazing bunch of people. God called Gary and Marilyn Skinner in 1984 to go to Uganda in Africa and plant a church in Kampala, the capital city there, and they did that. They did that 40 years ago. But it was a big mess. Idi Amin messed the whole place up. Military dictator all through the 70s. And he had like something like six wives and half of them were at the same time. He was a mess. And after him, there were like three presidents a year for a few years. And it was unstable. And it was not easy for these lovely Canadians, Gary and Marilyn, with their three little children. But God had called them. So they started this church. One night, Gary was away preaching somewhere and Marilyn was at home with her three little kids, and 25 men came to the door, and she barricaded herself and the kids in the bedroom and put all this furniture up, and she said it was a miracle they didn't get them. But, you know, there's dangerous stuff like that, and they wanted to go. They wanted to, everything within them was crying, leave. It was so dangerous. But God had called them, so they felt to stay at their post. And because they did, then they got a heart for AIDS orphans and they ended up opening one home for AIDS orphans. And then they opened another and then it became a village and then villages and then there were four villages. And then they went into South Sudan and started another church there. And then they started running these baby homes, bulrushes or something. And then they started rehabilitating child soldiers. And then they started getting these kids in these choirs and sending them all over the world telling the story. They have rescued thousands and thousands of orphans because they obeyed. They stayed at their post when it wasn't easy. We have got to know when we stay at our post and plant our seed where God has called us to do, God can get his harvest to you. He will get his harvest to you and he can get it to you quick. Verse 12 and 13 in this chapter about Isaac. In the New King James, it says, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. The P word, it's in the Bible, three times in one verse. I guess God likes prosperity. Other versions say Isaac became very wealthy. He became rich. He became great. In 1 year, he went from famine, just having a little bit of seed, to having a huge harvest that changed his life. God honored his faith. God rewarded his obedience. We are talking rapid, radical, divine prosperity here. Verse 14 says, Isaac had many flocks, many herds, many servants, and his enemies envied him. They were consumed with jealousy. You know what? People will see the blessing of God on your life. It's not only financial, it's on your marriage, it's on your parenting, it's on you. They will see it all over your life and they will envy you. They will see God's provision coming to you. They will want to be like you. They will see and acknowledge that you are a person blessed by God. You will be a walking, talking, miraculous sign to people, to unbelievers, of God's goodness. His loving kindness will be even shown to unbelievers by how well he takes care of you, his child. Because the Lord always looks after his own. He is a good father who always provides for his children. As I'm closing, I know some people here today may be thinking, well, that blessing, that harvest could never come to me. It could never come my way. That blessing could never happen to me. Well, why not you? If you're a child of God, if you obey what he said in faith and plant your seed there, why not you? Isaac went from famine to ridiculous prosperity within one calendar year, all because he obeyed God and stayed at his post and planted seed there. Why don't we stand this morning? close our eyes and put down our phones and journals and note-taking things. I know the Lord is saying the same to us as he said to Isaac today. Stay at your post. I know the Lord is speaking. Stay at your post. Stay at your post. Maybe you've been praying about something. You've been tempted to cut and run. You're asking the Lord what he wants. The Lord's saying, stay at your post. If you know God's speaking to you today, why don't you raise your hand? We're going to pray. That'll be awesome. Thank you, Father. In fact, if that's you, why don't you come? There's quite a few hands. Come, I'd love someone to stand with you. These things are not easy. Come now. Thank you, Lord. And you are calling us to stand firm, to stay at our post. Lord, give us grace. Release grace right now. Release grace to obey you in this as we're tempted to go, as we're tempted. Egypt's looking really good right now, Lord. But I pray you would give us grace to stand firm, to stay at our post, Lord God. Help us by your grace and truth in Jesus' name. Lord, help us to sow our seed there, not to eat it, lavish it upon ourselves, and not to save it, but to sow it in the ground, our finance, our energy, our resources. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We're going to worship God. Thank you, Father. Why don't we have some leaders come and stand with these guys? That's awesome. Have your way, Lord. Lord, we just pray and you would release a harvest right now on all of these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let faith rise in their hearts. As they faithfully obey you and stay, let faith rise. Let faith rise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.